Thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Jesus. We magnify your name, Jesus. You're the name that's above every name, and we look to you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Our eyes are on you, Jesus. We sing praises unto your name, Jesus. We bless your holy name, Jesus, because you are our Savior. You are our Lord. You are the greater one, and we look to you. You are the greater one, and we rely on you. You are the greater one, and we call on you, Jesus. 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 We call on you, Jesus. We call on you, Jesus. Not looking at any circumstance or any situation, but we call on you, Jesus. Oh, we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel, but we're moved by your name, Jesus. Because everything we need is in the name of Jesus. The precious name of Jesus. We call on you. We look to you. We rely on you, Jesus. Great and mighty. You're worthy of all the praise. You're worthy of all the glory. We want to say thank you for being so good, Jesus. Thank you for being so faithful, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for carrying out the plan of God. Going to the cross. Going to the grave. Coming up out of the grave. Rising up with all power in your hand. Oh, Jesus! 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us so. You've shown that through your son, Jesus. And we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you. We want to say thank you. Thank you. Father God, we thank you for this time that we get to come together to worship you, to lift up our voice together in one accord and magnify you and bless your holy name. Then, Father, we also thank you, Lord, for the word. Your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word that is life. So, Father, we thank you that as we dive into your word, that, Father, that is what we get, light. We thank you, Lord, that we receive life. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we receive it, that Father, we're able to put it into action and see your results. Because Father, we know you have great things, great plans for all of us. And Father, we desire to see every plan come to pass. So Father, we thank you for this time. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. You're my helper. You're my lead. You are my guide. So I thank you that as I speak, you're flowing through me. And Father, I thank you that your words are touching the heart of your people here tonight. We thank you for it, and we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can turn to your neighbor, say hello. Amen. I tell you. Could have kept going. Worshiping the Lord. As I said, I will bless him at all times. Amen. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, it's good just to come in and worship the Lord. I'm Robert. I'm one of the associate pastors here. I'm pretty sure you figured it out by now that Pastor Joel is not here. Yeah. You guessed it right. He's not here, but he's not skipping church either. He's not skipping church. He's actually over in India on a missions trip. So he will inform us about that trip when he gets back. So he has asked me to stand in for him at this moment. And it's an honor for me to stand before you and speak the word of God. It seems like y'all been having a good week, a fun week, as y'all was shaking hands, saying hello, saying it's good to see each other. I tell you, it's been a fun week for me because my wife, she's out of town. Yes, she's out of town, and we have two children, baby boy, he'll be three next month, and a baby girl, 6 months old. So she left Sunday evening, and it's just me and the babies at the house. So it's been fun, been real fun, feeding Kyla, that's the baby girl named Kyla, playing with Chase. Then Kyla lets us play a little bit. Then she's like, okay, that's enough that day. I need you to come over here and play with me. So it's been fun and happy to be a dad. And I told Kim, she gets back Friday night. And so I said, babe, I said, now, you know I love Kyla. I said, now, when it comes to her hair, you're going to have to help me out. I said, I don't know how to do her hair. So she got real smart. She used wisdom. She's a helper. My wife is to help me. So she helped me out because we're Alabama fans. Don't shoot me down. Don't boo me down. So we have on the Alabama fit, and then there's a sweater hat. I was like, perfect. Said, I don't have to comb her hair. Don't have to brush her hair. Just put on the sweater hat. Because it had been left up to me, her hair would have been just fluffed and poofed. And y'all would have been looking at me, what is wrong with Brother Earl, Brother Robert? He should at least comb the head or something. But anyway, it's been a fun week. It's been a fun time. But we're going to dive into the word for a few minutes, and then I'll let you all go. As we know, Pastor Joel has shared with us a word from the Lord about this year. We've been hearing it from him, even in staff. We've been hearing about it in the staff meeting, staff prayer. But even some of you as church members have been stating these words, these instructions that the Lord has been giving us. And one thing I realize, and growing up as a child, my parents' home, and even in this church, that when God is consistently reminding you of an instruction, he really wants us to get it. He really doesn't want us to miss out because there are some great things, some great plans that he has for us. And so he's reminding us and encouraging us of these instructions because he doesn't want us to miss it. And, you know, think about it with instructions. There are instructions that we see every single day, which is the traffic light. Red, yellow, green. You know, red is to stop. Yellow is to yield. Sometimes we yield, you know, if we late, got to go to a lady's hair appointment. You know, run a little bit behind schedule. You know, guys got to make it to the football game. You know, you may run through that yield light. But if there's a cop adjacent to you at another red light, guess what? The yellow light becomes a stop light. Then you have green, and green, as we know, it is to go. But think about it. If we don't obey these instructions when they come, they will not only affect us, but they will affect the people that are around us, the people that are connected to us. But they are instructions. You know, think about it. You know, the red light is red. And then, you know, you may want to switch CD or something fall on the floor and you get it. You know, ladies, you're doing your makeup, you know. I'm going to stop meddling with the ladies. And then, you know, next thing you know, the light turns green. And if you're not paying attention, guess what? You don't go. But there's always somebody behind you. And, man, they lay down on that horn. And, you know, you jump and, you know, you hit the gas. And you go and that flesh is like, you know, you want to turn around. Yeah. You want to turn around. Sometimes you want to stop the car because they held it way too long. And you be like, man, you know, did you really have to do that? And what they're saying, hey, it's time to go. It's time to move. It's time to press forward. The light has changed, and it's time to go. And basically, with these instructions that the Lord has given us and that of sharing with Pastor Joel is that this is a bridge year. And he has some great things for us. And he doesn't want us to become complacent or stationary. He wants us to get to the other side of that bridge because there are some great things that he has for you, this church, and even your family. But it all comes back to us obeying the instructions that he has for us. And so, you know, you think about it from the Bible all the way through generations to Revelation, he is talking about the same with these instructions
but it's summed up in one word. But you can talk about this word in many, many, many different ways. But it's just one word where it's saying to get us from here to there. And basically that is what I'm sharing tonight, just reminding us, encouraging us, hey, we can't stay here where we are. We have to leave the life that is for the life that is possible. Because we know with God what all things are possible. But in order for us to get from this place to that next place, there's a set of instructions that we have to carry out. And it's so simple. But before I give it to you, let's look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we pretty much know this story. The woman at the well, Jesus, you know, going to meet the woman at the well. And we'll start at verse 4 here. And basically, paraphrasing before we get to 4, you know, the Pharisees are saying that Jesus has baptized some disciples. And Jesus said, no, I have not baptized any. And Jesus is like, you know what? I got to leave Judea. I got to go over to Galilee, but I must go through Samaria. So let's pick that up. Verse 4. And he must needs go. Look at that English language. He must. Let me pull this down. Just a little bit. Okay, there we go. He said, and he must needs go through Samaria. Verse 4. Then verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, notice what he did. He sat. He sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now Jesus made a funny statement. I must needs go through Samaria. I'm sitting here like, I must needs go. I'm like, go through Samaria? What is so special about this place that you really got to go through Samaria? So I said, let me do some history. Let me do some research on this. Jesus has to leave Judea to get to Galilee, but he said, I must go through Samaria. So I looked up with the map. I looked up Googling map of Samaria, and man, it was so amazing. I saw it. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. I said, this is pretty weird. Judea, Galilee. Samaria is right in the route, in the middle of Galilee and Judea. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria to get to Galilee. Basically, we'll say this section is Judea, this section is Samaria, and this section is Galilee. So Jesus is leaving from Judea, and he's saying, I got to get to Galilee. But he said, I must needs go through Samaria. I'm like, oh, hello. It's the shortest route. Samaria is right in the middle. So in my research, I studied and I realized, I see why now he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Let's look at it in verse 9 and I'll break it down a little bit more. Jesus said, give me something to drink. Verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, talking about Jesus, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews, Jesus, have no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus said, I must need go through Samaria. Now let's look at this. Jesus goes through this journey. He must needs go through Samaria. But the Jews and Samaritans don't even associate. So much so that whenever the Jews needed to get to Galilee, they will go all the way around Samaria. Basically, instead of this section coming over here to join this section, which is Galilee, they will walk out of that exit door, go all the way around the church just to get over here to Galilee. That's how much they despise the Samaritans. Now, I'll let you do your homework in that on why the Samaritans and the Jews, they really didn't have that relationship. It's pretty interesting. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. So check this out. Jesus makes the journey. I must needs go through Samaria. But in this journey, he gets tired. And guess what he do? He sits down. Out of him being tired, he say, you know what, man, I'm thirsty. I'm at a well. Here come a woman. I'm going to ask her, give me something to drink. So Jesus had a need. He had a need. He sat down. He was tired. He had a need. He was thirsty. He asked for something to drink. But look at this. Jesus wasn't so focused on his need that he didn't see her need when she came to the well. This need was with her. She had a history of how the Jews treated the Samaritans. That's her history. That's what she had. And Jesus began to talk, as you know the story. He said, if you knew the gift of God that was in me, you would have asked me what for living water, and I would have given it. And she was saying, oh, give me this water. You know, and Jesus is basically, you know, he also said, too, that, hey, you're worshiping what you do not know, but a time will come for true worshipers that will worship me, what, in spirit and in truth. So Jesus gave her a history, but think about it. He wasn't so focused on his need that he couldn't help her in her need. For those of you taking notes, write this down. Three things. Number one, God is a God of purpose. Number one, God is a God of purpose. Number two, nothing in life is without purpose. Number one, God is a God of purpose. Number two, nothing in life is without purpose. Number three, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. What does inevitable mean? Certain to happen. Where purpose is not known, abuse is certain to happen. God is a God of purpose. Nothing in life is without purpose. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. It's certain to happen. Now, let's define purpose. Purpose is the original intent, is the original intent of the creation of a thing or person that was in the mind of the creator of that thing or person. Purpose is the original intent of the creation of a person that was in the mind of the creator of that person. Let me break it down. The practical here. This table, whomever the creator was, say, I'm gonna get four legs and I'm gonna get a tabletop because I just want something to sit on top of it. Purpose. Chairs you're sitting in. Four legs or two legs bolted in with a seat with a back so you can relax and be comfortable. Purpose. But notice the table and the chairs are stationary. Now, you can move them from any place, but they're stationary. We were created by God to never be stationary, never to be complacent. It goes back to what God is saying. This is a bridge year. You can choose to stay and not move across this bridge, or you can go across this bridge and experience the greatness of a life that I have for you. So Jesus had a need. He sat down. He was tired. He had a need. He was thirsty. He asked her for something to drink. But he wasn't so focused on his need that he didn't see her need. And he realized that she was so focused on the history of the Jews, on how they treated her people, that she wasn't focused on the original intent of her being created by her God. And so with Jesus saying, I must needs go through Samaria, saying I got to go through Samaria because there's a woman that is living a lifestyle that is not fulfilling her purpose. And if I don't get to Samaria, she'll never live out her purpose. She'll never live out the life that I have set for her. And because he went there and wasn't focused on his need, when she came to the well, he ministered so much to her. He gave her that history of who God is and how much he loves her, so much so she left her water pot. She went back to a city, and that city came and followed her. But it was all because Jesus reminded her to let her know the life that you have is far greater than you're experiencing right now. What I need for you to understand is I want you to leave the life that is for the life that's possible.
So I'm like, okay, Jesus, you went through Samaria. You went through Samaria. And think about it. Jesus being a Jew, he knew about the relationship. But he was so focused on the will of his Father. As it says in verse 34, my meat is to do the will of the one who sent me and finish his work. Now check this out. Jesus makes a journey. He's weary. He sits down. He's tired. But then he asks for water. Give me something to drink. He had those needs, but he still was focused on her need. And think about it. Jesus never got the water. He was thirsty. He knew the meat of his Father, to do the will of his Father. So in order for us to leave the life that is, for the life that's possible, to move from here to there, we have to go through Samaria, which now I want you all to look at. Samaria now is obedience. I need you to go through obedience, because through your obedience, I'm going to touch the life of one, and that one is going to touch the life of many. But what I need for you to understand is I need you to go through so others can go through. Now, this is not sickness, disease, you know, condemning you, making you feel bad. I just want you to be obedient to my will, because in you being obedient to my will, it's going to help others. Let me give you an example of this. Oh, it blessed me so when I went to this conference. It was Deeper Conference 2010. I'm going to give the short version of it. Basically, there was a young lady. She got pregnant. And she moved. She was in Colorado. No, she was in Iowa, and she moved basically to the West Coast, Colorado. So she's has a lot of pressure coming from people saying abort. Family is saying certain things, and so basically now she's 8 months pregnant. So one day she's walking on the sidewalk, and as she's walking on the sidewalk, there's a lady over here. The Lord ministers to this young lady, which is Charlene, the woman that is pregnant, is Margaret. It's a true story. That's why I'm saying the name, Charlene and Mark. So Margaret is walking the street, 8 months pregnant, on drugs. Basically, the state has labeled her an unfit mother, saying, when you have the baby, we're going to take that baby from you. You're going to have to give it up for adoption. So Margaret is walking the street. Charlene is over here doing the will of God that day in that neighborhood. Lord tells Charlene, hey, go and tell her that I love her. A lady is going across the curb, and Charlene has to run. Wait up, wait up. She doesn't know her name. So basically, she gets to her, and she says, hey, I just came to tell you that God loves you. She was like, what? Yeah, yeah. I just came to tell you that God loves you. And the awesome thing about it, this lady had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doing drugs, the state is about to take her child after she delivers the baby. But Charlene is not so caught up. Watch this, powerful. That day, she was going door to door talking to people about Christ. But she wasn't so caught up in doing that, even though it was a good thing. Margaret was walking up the street. God is saying, hey, I need you to get over here and talk to Margaret. So Margaret gets to hear the gospel. She gets born again that day on a sidewalk. Amen. They're carrying a conversation on the curb. She doesn't have an abortion. She stops doing drugs. All right. Oh, this is powerful. Yes, it is. You know who her child is? Many of you know him. He's a worship pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, where Pastor Joel Osteen. His name is Israel Houghton. Some of you all may know him with the group as Israel and New Breed. But all because Charlene wasn't so caught up in, which was a good thing, a God thing, telling the people about Christ, that she wasn't so focused on that where God couldn't tell, couldn't speak to her, and she heard it. Hey, go tell her that I love her. And out of that, thousands upon thousands are touched, all because one. So what Jesus is saying is, I just need you to go through obedience. Because as you go through obedience, people are going to get touched. Let me read this from Lynn Hammond's book. We have this in the bookstore, Devotions for the Praying Heart. And she said something that ties in perfect with this, with Charlene and Margaret, that happened. She said, We can walk around for years with giftings lying dormant within us like seeds in the ground. But when God sends somebody across our path who is anointed to cultivate them, those seeds in us will begin to sprout. The more we're with that person, the bigger those seedlings grow. Sound like with Jesus, with the woman at the well, talking to those seedlings grew and she went into her city. That just goes to show you how important spiritual connections and relationships are. They change us. They activate spiritual endowments within us. They prepare us for our future. They inspire us to rise to new heights in God. Charlene and Margaret. Charlene just did what God told her to do. Life changed. Jesus just did what God told him to do. Life change. Whole city got touched, got blessed. And that's what God is telling us in this. I must need you to go through obedience. Because when you obey me, you're not only going to be touched, your family is going to be touched, this church will be touched. It's all because you're doing one thing, obedience. You're leaving the life that is for the life that's possible. And you're not so focused on your need. You know, that's another thing. You know, God is saying, hey, I don't mind you praying to me about your family. Praying to me about increase. Praying and thanking to me about healing. But when you do that, can you listen to me? Because you're my vessel on earth. And I need you to go through some Samarias in your city. I need you to go through some Samarias on your job. Come on. And when you do that, people are going to be touched. Because when they see how your boss is treating you, but you're still walking in love, because I told you to walk in love. Well, what is walking in love? Obedience. When you're blessing those that persecute you and ridiculing you, and people see that, what is that? Obedience. The person that's treating you wrong, you send them a card, hey, happy birthday. Obedience. Not only will you get the reward, but they'll get the reward for it too. I heard this statement and I love it. It says, people rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. They rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. You know, this is where we get the word hypocrite or like two-faced. You one way over here with this group of people, then you another way. What they're saying is, hey, I want to see a sermon. I want to see what it means to live for Christ. I want to see what it means to trust Christ. I want to see what it means to love my neighbor as myself. I want to see it. Well, God is saying that when you go through obedience, it helps others to see it. You know, it's amazing, you know, even with this, how God tells us to do things. And, you know, for that first time, we, you know, first couple of months or years, woo-hoo, we're so excited and pumped up. Then the next year come about, the next couple of months, and we're like, oh, Lord, do I have to keep? Give you an example, short story, wrapping up. Here at church, Life Poindexter, you know, we had the book buddy, you know, system going on where you go to the school, you read a book, you spend time with that child. So, you know, first year, I'm like, whoo-hoo, yes, sir, got me a book buddy. Let's go. Second year, I'm like, ooh, let's go. First month kicked in. Let's go. Second month. At first I was focused on the need of a book buddy being there, but then I got to what? Focusing on my need. To where I started looking at, man, it's 25 minutes to drive from the church to Life Poindexter, to Poindexter Elementary, rather. Then I'm there 30 minutes spending time with him reading. Then I got to drive 25 minutes back. Man, that's an hour and a half every week. So I'm just focusing on that need, and guess what? I find myself calling, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it today. But the Lord shared with me, hey, I need for you to do this. I need for you to do this. But guess what? I'm excited, but then I start, what, focusing on me. So, you know, I go, and it happened four times. And I asked the Lord to forgive me four times. I know, yeah. I asked the Lord to forgive me four times. And so with that, I realized the next week when I showed up, after I didn't go spend time with him, he didn't want to read. He just wanted to have a conversation. I just want to talk. It's like, I was looking for you last week. And I tell him, I was like, oh, I was busy. I had to do this. You know, he still got to look like, and? And so I said, okay. And like I said, I repented and I said, okay, thank you, Lord. I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey. Wrapping up the story. I get there. It was a month before school was about to end. And the teacher asked me, hey, we want you to speak at graduation. I was like, so I was like, let me pray about it. So, you know, I got peace about it. And then I said, you know, let me let Pastor Joel know, since now I have peace, let me see what he has to say. You know, he's my pastor. And so I said, I want to make sure I have his blessing, his covering. So I emailed him and he said, give him heaven, Earl, give him heaven. So I said, okay, let's go. So I'm there and I didn't know it, but just before I got up, my book buddy, they had him to introduce me. And I'm sitting there like, wow, I had to hold back the tears because I'm like, oh. And you know, like how you do something for so long and it's like, you really don't see progress like how you want to or how it should be. And it was at that moment that I saw, man, he has grown up in the 2 years. Man, he has really developed. So I got up to speak and I sat down and just in my heart, I was like, man, this can't be the end. Because when book buddy ends at elementary, you know, in middle school, they don't have this. So I was like, Lord, I know it's supposed to go further, but I never met his dad. You know, you're going to have to make this, you know. You're going to have to communicate it. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to set it up. So at the end of the graduation, you know, he comes over there, grabs my hand, and I'm going, and he's like, that's my dad. I was like, oh, okay. So I'm like, ooh, how am I going to say it? How am I going to get it just right? Because I never met his dad. So he introduced me to his dad. And his dad is like, oh, man, Mr. Robert, so glad I finally get to meet you. I've heard so much about you. What you've done for my son, man, I don't want it to stop. I wanted to continue. And I'm like, wow, I didn't have to say a word. And the Lord showed me something. He said, see, you was looking at every Tuesday. You was just looking at the book buddy side. But I saw past that. I saw with you going through being a book buddy every Tuesday for an hour and a half with the drive, even though it was only 30 minutes there, with you doing that, the results was going to be that you was going to touch this father. Yes. And then this father is going to say, hey, I don't want this to stop. I want this to continue. And it wasn't that the father was doing anything bad. It's just that another man is just around him to encourage him. Right. But that never would have happened had I stopped. But God is like, hey, I know sometimes you don't see it. I know sometimes you don't understand it. But I just want you to go through obedience, because as you go through obedience, I'm going to touch the lives of others. And so for you and I, we can't stay here. Amen. We got to leave that life that is for the life that's possible. Well, how are we going to do it? It's simple. Go through obedience. What is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to let go of? What is God asking you to connect to? What people is God asking you to place yourself around? What people is he asking you to pull yourself away from those people? What is he asking you to do? And as we all know, when God says do something, we don't make excuses. We obey. And he needs for you and I to go through obedience so other people can go through. And as we continue to go through, we will get to that life that is possible because we're just obeying his steps, his plan. And guess what? It's already set up. It's perfect. It's perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. This is my closing scripture. Well, how is it going to affect others? How is it going to do just my obedience? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Watch this. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you and I, we got to let our light shine. How do we let it shine? By simply obeying God, by simply doing those things that he's asking us to do. And as we do those things, people will see our faithfulness. They'll see our love toward God. They'll see the joy in our hearts. They'll see the peace upon our minds. And guess what? They're going to point like, man, that got to be God in you. Because I remember how you were last year. But because you went through obedience, now your light is shining in the dark places on your job, in your community, around your family. And guess what? They're going to see, man, God is in you. Tell me about this. Guess what? They're going to what? Glorify God, which they're going to praise him. They're going to bless him, which means now what? They're drawing closer to God all because what? You're just going through what? Obedience. And out of that, you'll get to show them the plan that God has for them. And out of that, that would help them leave the life that is for the life that possible. So many people are caught up on their past history. But when we go through obedience, we will tell them and show them in Christ, there is no past. There's no record of wrongs. He has a great plan. But if we don't go through obedience, guess what? We can't show them. We can't share it with them. We're all one big family. God created every human being. His desire is that every human being comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, how are they going to do it? Through our obedience. Well, how's that? We are the light of the world. So as our light is shining, guess what? It's going to dispel that darkness, take the blindness off of their eyes. They're going to be able to see. And as they are able to see, they're able to what? Respond, because now they have an open heart. And then they begin to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then they'll be able to understand, man, God loves me. God has a plan for me. God has a great life for me. But it's only going to happen with us going through obedience. How do we do it? Hear the word and be a doer of the word that we hear. Then get around the right environment. When God created the fish, where did he put the fish? In the water. You bring fish on land, guess what? Drown. That's not the environment. Cow. God created a cow to walk the earth and eat some grass and moo. You put a cow in water that is too deep, what's going to happen? Drown. That's not his environment. It's no different than us. Our environment, Jesus Christ, relationships. The relationships are going to inspire us and build us and get us to that next level. Help us see those new heights in God. It's going to help us leave the life that is for the life as possible. And when this year's over, we'll be able to say, oh, I'm so glad we didn't stay where we were. I'm so glad we moved across that bridge. Because not only do I see it in my life, I see it in my family life, and I see it in this church life. So I just want to encourage us, let's go through obedience. Amen. And as we do, we will not be at the place where we are. We won't be able to stay where we are. We'll leave the life that is, and we'll get to the life that's possible that God has laid up for us. But it's all through obedience. It's been fun. Amen. Gotta go. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, thank you for being so good. Thank you for being so loving. Lord, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your people here. Father, I thank you for your heart that is for them. Father, when you created them, it was through love that you created them. Oh, and what great plans you have for them. Father, I just thank you that as they continue to obey you and live for you, that Father, they'll see that plan come to pass. Greater things you have for them. Greater things you have for them. Father, I thank you that they'll see it. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We love you and appreciate you. Thank you. We'll get across to that bridge. It's not only just for us, but it's for the many that are around us. So we're going to help you bring your children back to you. Father, we love you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, first time guests, make sure you go out to the info center, get your free gift. You need